how did things become normal? How did things become normalized? I think that's a hugely important question. How did capitalism become normalized? How did rent become normalized? How did rape become normalized? How did the murder of the planet become normalized? How did, I don't remember if I can mention capitalism, how did capitalism become normalized? How did civilization become normalized? But they don't focus on those. But that's a hugely important question. How do things become normalized? I'm often stunned by our collective ability to take intelligent questions and to give them the stupidest possible answer. This happens. I mean, as people who know my work know, I am consistently stunned that there are stolid scientists who are talking about the oceans being devoid of fish within 30 years, and most of us don't care. And it just strikes me as monumentally stupid. Or, you know, we consider ourselves to be the most intelligent species on the planet and then build dams and are somehow surprised when these dams kill the salmon that can't get through the dams. Or when you create pesticides and then you're surprised when these somehow poison people. There's just this consistent extraordinary stupidity. And I'm not saying that individuals are necessarily stupid. What I'm saying is that collectively here's what has me thinking about this is I'm thinking about queer theory. I'm thinking about science. I'm thinking about postmodernism. And let's start with postmodernism. That postmodernism takes a really important question, which is what does it mean when the stories we're told have spin on them? And so we're told that Christopher Columbus is a hero, and we have Columbus Day, and we're told that Christopher Columbus discovered the Americas. And so it starts with this recognition that all stories have spin, and that stories told that, and also that the victors create history. And so had World War II gone differently, the Germans would have propagated a very different history, and we would probably perceive a lot of the Germans were in support of Hitler. When the opposition to Hitler was trying to overthrow him, they knew that they would have to kill Hitler because Hitler was still pretty popular, even though he was destroying everything, and even though he is evil. People are capable of being propagandized into believing almost anything. So postmodernism takes that understanding, which is an incredibly important understanding, that we are influenced by stories, and then somehow jumps to there is nothing but stories and there is no physical reality. How? This is something I've wondered for decades. How do you take such a good question and answer it in the stupidest possible way? What the fact that we are the, okay, I perceive that tree, and the fact that your perception of that tree, where you're sitting here, would be different than my perception of that tree, simply means that we perceive the tree differently. It doesn't mean that there's no tree. And, okay, so now let's jump to queer theory, which asks a very important question of how did things become normal? How did things become normalized? I think that's a hugely important question. how did capitalism become normalized? How did rent become normalized? How did rape become normalized? How did the murder of the planet become normalized? How did, I don't know if I can mention capitalism, how did capitalism become normalized? How did civilization become normalized? But they don't focus on those. But that's a hugely important question. How do things become normalized? And queer theory specifically focuses on sexuality. How did, I mean, it's kind of silly to ask how did heterosexuality become normalized, because of course that's how we reproduce, so of course it's normalized. But they ask instead, or the question to ask instead is, how did homosexuality become stigmatized? Hugely important question. And they do the same thing postmodernists do. This, they do the same thing that we do in this culture all the time, which is they take a really important and smart question and answer it in the stupidest possible fashion. And part of the answer for queer theory is that, well, because homosexuality is stigmatized, and that stigmatization should not be normalized, and it should not be there, therefore, all forms of sexual stigmatization should not exist, which is how you can end up with all sorts of queer theorists, from Judith Butler to Gail Rubin to Michel Foucault to Pat Califia, promoting pedophilia. The argument goes that because strictures against homosexuality are wrongheaded, therefore all strictures against all forms of sexuality are wrongheaded, including sadomasochism, including sadism, including pedophilia. And so that's a question I've been asking for a long time, is how did they take such a smart question and come up with quite possibly the stupidest possible answer? Now let's talk about science. Science asks a really smart question. The fundamental question of science is, how do things work? How does it work that water gets brought up a tree? How does it work that when you throw a ball, it describes a very specific arc? How does a curveball work? How does, cancer work? How does anything? One of my favorite classes in college was a class called statics that was, based on the idea that when a thing is sitting in place and not moving, what that means is that all the forces acting on it are equal. So if you're standing, then your weight, the gravity pulling you down, has to be equalized by the force of the soil pushing back up on your feet. Otherwise you would fall. So that was really fun. This is why, for example, if you weigh 200 pounds and you are standing on a board that is 4 feet by 4 feet, and I put my fingers under that board, it's not going to hurt. But if you are wearing stiletto heels and I put my finger under your stiletto heel, it's going to hurt, because if there's that 4 foot by 4 foot board, all the force, the 200 pounds is pushing down, is spread over the 4 foot by 4 foot area. But if you have a stiletto heel, and let's pretend you're only standing on your heel just to make it easy, all of that 200 pounds is on that one little spot. This is why if I hit you with a fly swatter, that's going to hurt you less than if I stab you with a knife. Because if I stab you with a knife, all of that force is in one little point. So it was really fun to, not knives aren't fun, but the statics was fun to examine, how do things work? How does a bridge work? How does a bridge stay standing? And that stuff was really fun. So science is really, in many ways, asking, how do things work? So how do you start with such a great premise of how do things work, and you end up creating phosgene gas, you end up creating pesticides, you end up bombing the moon, you end up blowing up asteroids, you end up creating cool things like hot showers, but also killing the planet? how do you take a great question like how do things work and end up killing the planet? And I think it all comes back to something that a line I've loved for a long time, which is unquestioned assumptions are the real authorities of any culture. And so the real question is, in both the case of queer theory and science, the people asking the questions were not asking those questions in order to, out of idle or even loving curiosity. They were, in both of those cases, asking those questions in order to further domination. And science is pretty obvious because capitalism and science have been, you know, just tied in together from the beginning. And we can talk about, you know, those great quotes by Francis Bacon about how he wants to strap down the world to a table and torture the secrets out of nature. And, you know, queer theory, one of the primary people who did it, Michel Foucault, was an extreme sadomasochist, sadist. Gail Rubin, who wrote the founding document of queer theory, sadist. Pat Califia, another very important early queer theorist, once scratched or carved a swastika into a bound Jewish lover's arm during sex. Obviously, very interested in domination. And postmodernism, tied to all of this also, and the same with science and queer theory, is that this culture has a real fundamental hatred of the embodied and a hatred of nature. And the point I'm getting to with all of this is that the reason, a primary reason, that when we collectively ask questions, okay, let's do another one. We ask, how do we stop global warming? And all of the answers have to do with providing additional forms of energy for industrial economy. They don't have to do with actually protecting the real world. Why? Because the unquestioned assumption is that we are supposed to dominate the world. But this economy is more important than the world. And so my point with all of these is the reason we ask these good questions and answer them so stupidly is not because we are stupid. It's because we are, in all of those cases, not asking the questions honestly, but we are instead asking the questions, searching for, unconsciously often, searching for answers that will further our pre-existing agenda of dominating, of domination, of body hatred, of nature hatred.